22. Reference that as you listen to us talk about the gospel today. Recognize the passion of the Christ. Along with his death and resurrection victory attention, throughout Jesus' life, do we recognize the passion? Throughout his life, the power plays, and the power of God at play, as and for the powerless. And now today, do you and I have passion, a pulse? Do we recognize any passion in our daily faith walk? May our hearts have the childlike faith of an Arlo, vibrant and moldable in his first communion class yesterday, attentive, so sincere and alert, willing to ask any question and listen to the answer, willing, learning, listening to the truth of Jesus' call to be faithful. Today we read and relive the crucifixion. Wrongful, gruesome death has got to motivate us. Of the Christ, what else matters besides our God? Our high school religion teacher had a way of garnering our attention. During one chapel in particular, he read the crucifixion story. In the account, he was in tears, openly weeping, a little awkward, uncomfortable, and real, and how it should be, maybe. Isn't this how we should be engaged with our loving Father who gives us our very life? Who gives us his very life? Shouldn't we be tearing into Jesus' story and life and words and death as it tears us up, as it fires us up, as it tears us up? Today we see Simon taking up the cross of a battle-wearied and already nearly beaten to death Jesus. Again, this chaos palpable. All eyes are on Simon and Jesus. Would you feel pressure? Awkwardness, discomfort, being put on the spot. Are you ready for the challenge of Christ, of being available, answering the call, and carrying the cross of Christianity as is presented to us day after day? Are we fully eager? Are we ready at a moment's notice? Are we even aware of the call of the Christ within each person and moment and thought? Regardless of our doubts, the distractions, excuses, busyness, answering the call, picking up the unenviable tasks and sacrifices and messes of true cross-bearing relationship in the business of Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Come, grace us with your presence. Yes. And come, each of us who easily lay claim to this title of Christian. It's okay. He'll heal and salve the wounds. No one else is going to. No one else can. Come to the table, to the foot of the cross, to the fountain. Let us make ourselves available where deep cries and bleeds out to deep. For the true challenges of this lifetime, to dig into and grow into the fear, admonition, and submission to our Lord. Again, what will get our blood and tears flowing again, like Jesus? I want to add an insult, laying on thick evermore every form of humiliation to injury in the death, and Jesus endures. They dress him in purple and crown, spit on him, salute him, and kneel in mocking homage. And again on the walk to the cross, and on the cross, derided, they wag their heads at him, saying, aha, acting like they are better than him, like they knew he was a sham, ruthlessly shaming him. While having uncertain, been like all of us, at times victimized and oppressed too, and too often, yet how quick to forget when popular opinion shines upon our face. Quickly, arrogantly, we strike with pointed dagger words and hearts. This is where you and I spend each day, too, in the trenches or chicken coops or courtyards of pecking order. Where two or three are gathered, there is Christ. Yes, and where two or three are gathered, there's conflict and collision and complaint, hurt, fear, anger, given and shed, passionately, yes, rarely in the name of Christ or the glory of God the Father. And so we are called passionately give mercy, forgive in the heat and the heart of the moments and relationships. Too quickly our flawed old Adam passion reacts, defends, attacks, naively jumps on any and every bandwagon. Again, where is our righteous, passionate response for those who insult the Lord of all? Where is your other cheek, cloak? Have we started our extra mile? When death and many other necessary rock-bottom realities thankfully strike us to our core, drop us to our knees any moment in life, thank you, God, for how tangibly we get to feel this when our hearts are laid wide open or broken, crushed. We are renewed with your passion, Lord. Fill us with your truth and love. We repent. Our gospel reading concludes in verse 34 and on. Jesus cries out as being forsaken, just abandoned by God the Father. Far from it. Jesus uses even his last words to awaken prophecy truth that cuts to the heart, into our matter, deeply carved into every soul. Psalm 22, declared from his dying parched lips, again throwing down the gauntlet of heresy. I am the one who speaks as God, and I am God's fulfillment of prophecy. No wasted moves or words in our faith-filled Jesus. Yes, proclaiming a truth that he was abandoned, not by the Father, by every single human support system. The prophecy continues in Psalm 22, verse 12. He's encompassed and surrounded by the bull of well-intentioned, self-proclaimed religious experts who talk and balk sincere, passionate, ridiculous games. Verse 16, he's encircled by the company of evildoers of Roman empire and power. On, and in verse 24, pronouncing prophetic completion, victory of servant and Lord. Psalm 22, 24 prophesies, the Father has not despised me. He has not hidden his face from me. His face shines upon Jesus, even as the earth goes dark. It is finished. Now go do likewise. There's nothing new under the sun in 2015. God does not forsake us. Believe, and you, me, forsake the structures that lead to destruction. We sit at his feet, listen, learn, serve, rinse, repeat. Here we have in blood and print the living words of the living Jesus' mouth. Jesus' mouth. And the meditation of Jesus' battered, battle-tested heart, absolute and proven acceptable to our Father. Therefore, may the meditations of our hearts soak in these His, Jesus' words, marinate in Jesus' life as our Lord and Savior, to tenderize our rocky, bottom-feeding hearts, to help us become painfully aware of how the meditations of our hearts, the tempered and controlled words in our mind, and the very few words that we let escape our lips should meet the measure of Christ-sized truth and love like our actions will. The Jewish practice of mourning, when you find out your closest have died, you rend your garments open at the news of loved one's death. Rip left to right to show the cut to your heart at the loss of those dearest. The gospel records the curtain torn, rent top to bottom, cut to the core of our Heavenly Father's heart, and he and we mourn and celebrate, cherish and honor the truth unveiled, his life rightly lived, full obedience unto his Son, fully obedient Son through and into physical and temporary death. At the same time, cutting to the core, stripping back any veil, eliminating any barrier created by those forsaking, or even the chosen. Jesus, throughout his life of truth, religiously, patriotically unveils untruth, counters the professed proper way of the experts of the day. So this curtain of restraint being rent and torn away completes the message of his, the only truth. There is no barrier between you, my child, and me. Be as humbled as the distant failed disciples. With this resurrection new lease of life and truth, they become faithful to the point of death through all the shame and insecurities and tactics. It's a hard knock, beautiful life. Let's live it. Let's be resolved. Let's be resilient. Be as passionate and true for Jesus' sake and cause as the women and Joseph are, hidden like the Holy Spirit, but fully present, aware, and willing to care for the body of Jesus. We do this in remembrance of you.